This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Oh,
what it do?
Oh, I'm riding high right now.
Why?
Well, I'm on a COVID cast high and I'm on a lunch high right now.
Would you have bologna?
With the little the pimento loaves, you know, the little olives mixed in there. Who has bologna? In today's lunch meat game, with all the options we have, who on God's green earth, unless, hey, that's just what you can go with, right? Like if that's what you can afford and then your every penny counts, I get it. Have some bologna. But for most of us, why? Why would anyone eat bologna in this day and age? That offends my sensibilities.
Well, again, I was serious. I thought maybe you had some bologna and you were excited about it.
I do believe that it
might. Not all of us can afford your fine lunch meats.
the Lando Lakes fake forest ham?
What is the finest lunch meat?
Oh,
you can buy.
I go Boar's Head, like if I'm feeling a little spry. But that's the, like, that's.
Is that a brand?
Yeah, Boar's Head, and they make cheese. And
I thought you were saying, like, Boar's Head meat.
Oh, no.
It's like, wow. That's exotic.
Yeah, I'm out hunting boar. You know, I like to slice that bastard up, go right for the head. No, like, if you go to, I'm sure if you go to, like, a fancy store, like you go to Zupan's or whatever, they have some super high end. But, like, if you're just at, like, Freddy's or Safeway or whatever, I find that the Boar's Head is your best bet. But that's, again, like you get it cut at the deli counter.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get into like your Carl Budding and your Lando Lakes and the pre-made. And that's way, way cheaper. And the problem is that if you spend money on Boar's Head, like, because that stuff's like $6.50, $7 a pound. And so you get, you know, you get your little lunch meat there. And then the damn kids don't appreciate it and they eat it all. Like you go home and you're like, oh, make a sandwich. And my son has made one sandwich with like 9 pounds of lunch meat. You're like, son of a gun. So it's a fine balance there. But I believe that lunch is my money meal. A good lunch or bad lunch can make or break my day. And I know some people that's breakfast, dinner, lunch, my money meal. And today, authentic tamales. Handmade.
Where from?
My whole day. From the place where I go work out, my buddy's house. He's got his home garage. His wife is Hispanic and the family from south of the border. And yesterday I was there working out and the whole clan shows up with like these giant pots and they're making tamales. And I was like leering around like, hey, let's just wait around till tamales are done. Well, I guess it's like a 24 hour process to make like real authentic tamales. And so I was like, well, can you save me some? And they're like, yeah, if there's any left over. So I went back today in hopes that there would be tamales. Oh, there was tamales. Made my whole day. Riding a tamale high. It was homemade salsa, just the whole thing. And I'm sure I gained like 12 pounds eating them because I saw what they were making and they were just adding lard and everything that was probably awful for you. And I don't care. It was that good.
Did you watch the latest season of Shameless?
I have not seen the entire season of Shameless. This is the last one is when who's the gal that left?
What's her nuts?
Yeah. I saw like the first three episodes of it and I haven't caught the rest.
You've got a couple.
What is Colorado Rockies?
Yeah.
Why can't I think of her name?
Her name is Fiona.
Fiona. Yeah. She just left.
The show is not the same without her.
No. It's a wonderful show, though. If you want to go
back.
But
there's a new season.
If you want to binge watch something, Shameless is a great one. Well, William H. Macy is
It's a commitment.
Phenomenal.
There's like 11 seasons.
There's a lot. But I have not seen the entirety of this last season, no.
Okay, but I'm telling you, there's another season.
Oh, so because
I'm way behind. Yes, this is the second season without Fiona.
Oh, then I'm behind.
So in the newest season, what's his nuts? Again, one of the kids gets into it with a little Hispanic girl that he works with.
Yeah. Oh yeah, she's selling the drugs.
And she's making sells the drugs. Oh, so you are on the news. This is the newest season. This is the second season without Fiona.
Then I am on this. I am on this season.
And
of
they
which
make
you're
tamales.
Yes.
And they think he's a schmuck, but they put him on the tamale line. Yeah. And so this raises the question, which is what made me think of that. How many tamales is it is appropriate to make at one time? Because I feel like the tamale is made in bulk.
Yes. Well, it's, believe me, this is the first time I've ever seen someone, and I was just like a fat kid just leering. I was hovering around the process, trying to pretend that I was interested in how they were made. I was just hoping I'd hang around long enough and get the fresh tamales. But having seen everything that goes into it, you can't put that effort into only making a handful of tamales. Like, if you're going to go ahead and do that, you really got to commit. And I mean, they were cranking these suckers out. I mean, I bet they made 100 tamales. I mean, it was it was a whole thing.
I love tamales.
They were so, so good. And I was even schooled in that when I got over, they said, hey, we have two left. Do you want pork or do you want cheese? And I laughed and was
pork.
Like, what?
Hello.
First off, they asked me, did I want tamales?
Did they have bologna tamales?
Yeah. I was like, what? I want tamales? Yes, I'm here to eat tamales. Thank you. And then they had the nerve to ask me, do I want pork or cheese? And I said, that may be even dumber than the question of, do I want tamales? Of course I want pork. And they said, well, you really got to try the cheese. And I'm not going to lie. I was a little uppity about the cheese. The cheese was dynamite.
So the cheese tamale, there's nothing else in it?
No. Well, I mean, there's like, there's no meat. It's just a cheese
what
tamale.
What else is in it?
I don't know. It's some sort of concoction, I believe, of multiple cheeses. And it was amazing.
Hmm.
I mean, I'm humbled. I went in very cocky thinking whatever. I heated up one cheese tamale. It was like, let's just get this out of the way and I can get to my pork tamales. I went back and ate several more cheese.
You know what's funny about Mexican food?
What?
Like this text, for example, there is a thing about, and I don't know of any other cuisine that is like this, but the higher end the food is, the more people don't like it.
I know.
Right? Like it's like everyone, this text says, the best tamales come out of the unsuspecting trucks. A lot of times it's a Honda Civic. Can be found in parks and job sites. You know, there's a lot of truth to what he's saying there about this.
There was, it moved, but the place where I got all my tattoos, it's called Dark Star Tattoo. It's in Vancouver. By the way, go see Greg if you want a tattoo. Those guys are freaking great. But they used to be in downtown Vancouver by the courthouse, and they've moved off of like Fourth Plain now. But the best part was, because sometimes I would sit for a long time. You'd be sitting there for like four hours getting like your tattoo worked on. There was a lady that would come around on a bicycle, and on the front of the bicycle was just this giant basket, and it was just full of tamales. And she would just go and like walk into businesses and would anyone like tamales? And they were four for like 10 bucks, these giant ass homemade tamales. And so you'd be sitting there getting a tattoo and she would come in and you're like, yeah, let's just do a round of tamales for everyone. And they were amazing. And I don't know where she came from. She spoke very little English. I don't know why she was driving around on a bike. I don't know if there was a restaurant there, if she was doing her spare time, but that is better than any like restaurant tamale I've ever had. The same thing with these I had today. That's better than any Mexican food that I'm going to have going to whatever, you know, Matador or whatever you want to go to around here.
Yeah, the Mexican food thing, you got to explore all nooks and crannies.
Yeah.
Because you never know who's going to have the best.
And this guy's saying, like, cheese tamale, is that on the kids' menu? That's what I thought. I was balking at the cheese tamale. I'm telling you, it was dynamite. I was going to bring some in for you, but they all got eaten.
So there's a bro over on Barber by Well, you know where the G spot is?
The G spot? No, not familiar with that.
Oh, I thought you'd know where that was.
No, is that a?
Are you sure? Are you lying to me?
No,
right?
That's Mike over like on Barber, right?
Yeah, it's on Barber.
Oh, is that the really shady? Like,
shady.
Yeah, is that the like the modeling quote? I'm putting air quotes.
You know, honestly, I don't know what happens in there, but I can only imagine bad things.
I think I've driven by it. Is there like a bad motel kind of like right there?
No, no, no. You're thinking of that's down the road. That's the area where we were talking about is the oddest stretch of road in Portland.
Yes.
With the scuba diving shop and then the Pussycats or something.
Something like that.
And then the weird hotel.
And it terrifies me. Anytime I drive by it, I assume that I'm going to end up in a bathtub with my kidneys.
No, the G-spot is over by...
Come up north on Barber on that same road. And the G-spot is over there.
Okay, I don't frequent that direction, sorry.
It's right by Multnomah Village. And there's like... It's half under an overpass and half above the overpass.
And it looks like two people couldn't fit in it. But somehow it's an operating business. It's open, right. I think. I mean, that's what they say.
Sure.
Anyway, across from there, somewhere in that area, there is a food truck. A totally random food truck that sets up in a parking lot.
Yeah.
And he makes absolutely, it's a couple.
Yeah.
They make the best burritos. And it's a totally random, like, it doesn't even, I don't even think it says anything on their truck. It's just white.
People just know. You're like,
go
to the G spot, hang a left, and you're going to see a van. Trust
it's parked
me,
in some random parking lot.
You're not going to get kidnapped. It's
he's always
be
there. He's super cool. And they're really good. Somebody told me about him. Like, I would never, I mean, it just doesn't look too inviting. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not something I would have stopped at, but somebody said, oh yeah, try the breakfast burritos. To your point about, or maybe it was my point, our point about Mexican food.
Yeah, this guy says you guys are cute in California, you get homemade tamales everywhere. Old ladies just show up at bars.
That's right.
Exactly, but we're not in California.
Yeah.
Believe me, the best.
Yeah, we got nothing on San Diego.
No, you go down there, it's just you can't throw a rock without hitting delicious food. And here's the other thing too. If I go into a taqueria, I demand four things out of my taqueria if I know it's going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
One, no one speaks English, right? I don't want to be able to order. I just have to point at a menu and hope that I've got it right. Two, there needs to be a boombox playing to where it's so loud that I can barely hear what's going on. Three, I would like the floor to be sticky or the menu to be somehow glued to the counter. And then I would like someone in the back and all I can just see is just a whirling dervish of things going on back there and pots are clanging. You walk into that place, preferably bars on the windows, but I'm not going to say that's a necessity. You walk into that place and I promise you, you're getting ready to have good food.
I'm with you. I'm with you 100%.
I don't want to walk into a place and have it all clean and sanitized and like gym is back. I'm like, what?
Well, I think what we're saying has all been proven. This is science.
Yes.
We just got to go find the study that.
Yeah, that backs it up.
That backs it up. It's out there.
A double blind study. Same thing. If you ever are traveling in Mexico, it's the same thing. We were in, me and my wife years and years and years ago, we were driving through, we were trying to go see the Hotel California. So we were in Todos Santos and there was a place. Same thing, right as you came into town, no running water, whatever. It was just this guy had like a little roadside stand set up and she was kind of balking at it. I'm like, let's give this thing a whirl. I sat down and he was making carne asada street tacos. I think I had 12 of them to the point where I think he was getting disgusted with me. I think with each new taco purchase, he was judging me. Luckily, I couldn't understand him, but I think he was disgusted at my presence, and I don't care because they were that good, and I just kept ordering more.
Now we're getting G-spot jokes coming in.
That's the name of the place?
Yeah, it's called the G-spot. And look, do I need to say any more about
no,
what that place is?
No, that's all you need to know.
And I don't know what goes on in there. It's widely debated in our car every time we drive by, but I've never been in.
Yeah.
So.
Sure. The best is Mike immediately. Oh, yeah. 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 I'm familiar. Yeah. Familiar with that location.
Driven past it lots of times.
Yeah. So
it looks as shady as can be. There's a driveway in the back.
Well, there's, parking.
The parking's in the front. There's just a driveway.
I don't think they have parking in the front.
I don't think they have parking, period. Whoever has the guts to wander into one of those places, God bless you. Even if I wanted to, that thing would absolutely terrify me. That's like when we went down to the Bachelor's Inn down in Coos Bay. The place behind it was the Coos Bay Adult Fun Center. That yellow, random anonymous building with no windows. I can't do that. I'm not brave enough to go into the Adult Fun Center, nor am I brave enough to go into the G-spot.
Well, if you must know, and I've told you this before, but there was another one kind of like that that used to be a locksmith or something down the road on Barber. And a friend of mine and I, late at night, had some – our curiosity got the better of us, and we went in there.
We wandered in.
And what we found was that there are places that are like strip clubs, only – how do I put this? You can split off
– yeah.
And you can do your own, you can do your thing, right?
You can.
Does that make sense?
You can self-entertain.
You can.
Self-soothe.
You can. Not that, I mean, we certainly didn't. No. We got out of there, but.
That's like a game of soccer. Nothing gets touched with your hands, right? You just keep your hands up at all times.
Wait, quick note, quick nugget. And then we're going to, we have hot blazer talk today.
Yes, we do.
How about that?
Well, and it's COVID cast 80. That's the other thing. I'm riding an emotional high.
Burying the lead.
We hit the over under.
Yep. Number 80 today. This is it. Okay, on the G-spot tip, yo. I just saw this the other day, men, because people are joking. Hey, do you know where the G-spot is? There is no such thing as the G-spot. You're off the hook, men.
Hey, give it up.
Science. It's science.
Science can prove anything that's even remotely true.
Men who struggled to find the woman's G-spot now have a rock-solid excuse. Scientists say it does not exist.
Well, there you go.
A study found no evidence of powerful stimulated by a small, sensitive region, as has been claimed for 70 years. These are medics from Istanbul.
What?
They have medics there, too.
We're going off of the study from Istanbul.
Are we going to throw away 70 years of experience and tried and true science here?
What?
Or are we just going to, we're going to throw it away for what? One report?
Yeah.
I'm ready for it.
Of course.
Hey, I trust the Istanbulis. I'm going with them.
Yeah, you mock any other country besides our own. But at this point, shouldn't you be over that based on what's happening
we
in our
should.
Our fair
I want some guy to go home
land.
With this, like, printed out, like, on a hard copy and be like, aha, I knew it.
Told you. Yeah, one survey found that 22% of men felt finding that spot was the main aim during sex, but now they say the evidence of it even existing is insufficient.
The main aim?
Insufficient and weak.
It's like El Dorado. You're trying to find the lost city of gold. Many men have tried. Many men have died.
Well, there you go. There's hot G-spot news you didn't know you needed.
Boy, who had any of that the primetime bingo?
Thank you.
You went from COVID cast to tamales.
Thank you, ladies. Ladies, please.
To G-spot.
Please.
Someone probably had lewd sexual reference in the first segment as a bingo square. Probably.
Yeah, that's not lewd. It's science.
That is true. He went with the best is Rob had it pulled up. He had that ready to go.
It was in my notes.
That was holstered.
That was going to be discussed. It's just that the G-spot place came up. Came up and it's like, well.
Well, Rob often, and people don't know this, but the award-winning show prep does read, every day he reads the Istanbul Medical Journal.
That's right.
It's part of his daily research.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. There you go. Let's get to hot Trailblazers news. I mean, I guess not really, but they're back. They're back.
Yeah.
You know, like when you have people in your house, like on the holidays, and you wake up and it's super quiet and you just know everybody's asleep.
Sure.
And then you wake up a couple hours later and things are stirring and maybe lights are on or you hear something.
Yeah, it's time to get up.
That's where we're at with the blaze. People are stirring.
Someone's making a couple Folgers downstairs.
Yeah. Hey,
what's that smell?
Folgers is being made. Yeah. And we'll get to that next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
I thought the show was over.
I was kind of hoping.
Yeah, I was like, boy, that went fast. That hot taqueria talk, man, it just carried on for 4 hours.
That's the first time I've ever seen Mike do the Swigard. I looked over it because that was obviously a misfire, but Mike just went, he threw his arms up and was like, what the hell is happening?
That is a
I fixed it very quickly, though.
That is a swag classic move. Now Mike's disgusted.
Yeah, well, he said he fixed it very quickly, and I said, And he's not happy about that.
Mike, are you thinking about the G-spot again?
Should have never happened.
Would you focus, please?
It's a bad misfire. Second segment, come on.
Well, at least his no-hitter is broken up early.
That's
now,
right.
Now he can
pressure's
focus.
Off now.
Gave up five in the first.
He doesn't have to worry about it.
All right, I'm going to get to our poll question, actually, in our next segment, because it pertains to what we're talking about there. First, J-Babes.
Yeah.
It's a COVID cast number 80, as you alluded to in the first segment, and that is a big deal. And the reason that's a big deal is because when the NBA went away on March 11th, you guys sat here and said, well, actually, I think it was a couple days later when I came back that Monday.
Yeah, because you missed a couple days.
Yeah, I was like, hey, how many of these are we going to do? Do you guys think? Because at that time, we didn't know what the hell was going on. We're like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
What is happening? And these meaning sports shows without any major team sports being played in the U.S. And you said 80. That's what you said.
Yeah. So that'll take us to July.
And we agree. Well, you didn't know that at the time, but you were just like, 80.
Yeah.
But it turns out it was July 1 because we don't do shows on weekends. And Mike and I were like, yeah, that sounds, you know, over under. That sounds like a good over under. And I said over. And I think Mike said over, too. Here we are going over because today is our 80th.
It is. And by the way, no team sports in sight.
Well, sure there are. I mean, at the end of July, well, they're supposed MLS to be firing back, up. Yeah, but we don't count them.
No, we're not counting the MLS.
Major team sports in the United States.
Look, we're 3 weeks.
That's four
we're
leagues.
We're 3 weeks away, over 3 weeks. I'm saying that that's, and by the way, none of that's guaranteed, so. Call me.
Well, the NBA is going to get started.
Call me when we get 4 to 5 days out.
Yeah, it's on the horizon. We'll probably have, 15 more of these shows before, maybe basketball fires up. Or I guess MLB is supposed to be the first one to start, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, technically, if you wanted to count it, which we don't, that would be Major League Soccer, then baseball, then we've got the NBA, and then
NHL
hockey,
is
and
the same as NBA.
I thought they may be a couple days behind it.
Well, anyway.
But yes, it's all right around the same time. And then we get into, you're going to get college football in the NFL. And
we made it to July.
Yes. Yes, we did.
June was a little bumpy.
Somehow.
Turbulence.
Somehow we managed to press on. Well, June was, everything's been canceled. Then June tried not to be canceled. And now July may be canceled again. We don't know.
Yeah.
July is on, it's on house arrest right now. But we're not certain if we're going to prison.
March, we were freaking out.
Yeah.
We were like, what is happening? April, we were like, everything was just shut down.
Yeah.
Totally locked down.
And then we were like, hey, May may open up. And then we were like, no.
May, we're like, huh.
Now it canceled.
And now we're back to probably, we're looking at a July very much like April.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see what happens.
I saw California shut down a bunch of stuff today.
California shut down. I mean, there's a bunch of states. I think it was like 16 or 17 states have either hit pause or rolled back. And I did see today that...
But it wasn't the whole state, just to be clear.
No,
it was just... It was 19 counties in California, and it included restaurants, gyms, bars, things like that. Only indoors. They can operate outdoors, but not indoors.
Now, I did see that Alabama, some of their students down there, this coming from the Tuscaloosa city councilor, they're throwing COVID parties down in Alabama where they throw money into a pot and then they try to see who can get COVID, and whoever gets the COVID virus first gets the money.
You're kidding.
No, that is 100% a real thing. That was from ABC News. I saw John Solomon retweeted that, where they're asking kids in Alabama, please stop doing this.
How much is in the pot, though?
I don't know. The article that I read did not say how much, but some of these gatherings, they said, can have anywhere from 50 to 100 people, and everyone's throwing some money in the pot. So let's just say they're kids. I don't know, $5 to $10 each. It's a decent pot, and whoever gets whoever proves that they get the coronavirus first, they get the pot.
Man, the kids.
Yeah.
God, they're dumb.
I mean, if you want to, that's... It's just, it's mind-boggling that that's what's going on, but that is happening. And this was the Tuscaloosa Fire Chief Randy Smith did testify before the city council on Tuesday that he has confirmed that this is a real deal, that they've had to break up some of these parties due to complaints. So I guess some of the I don't know why the fire department is showing up at these things to try to break them up, but Maybe because the police are busy doing other things, but
what if I get tested before you? What if we're at one of these parties and I just get a test before you? You know, maybe you have it before me, but you don't get tested
I think that's part of the thing is, man, you got to get the test.
You got to rush out and get the test.
You got to rush out and get one right afterwards.
That is so dumb.
But that is indeed happening. So if you want to know why we're one of like the three or four countries in the world that can't seem to get our S together, I give you Alabama.
RJ asks, were we that kind of dumb when we were young? And the answer to that is no.
I don't think I there was that very, dumb.
I wasn't. I would not have. I mean, come on. There was this kind of stuff when we were that young. It's just manifests itself in different ways, right?
Sure.
It wasn't a global pandemic, but I don't know. There was a lot of stuff. Everybody's, you know, kind of dumb when they're young.
Yeah.
But not that kind of dumb. That's another level.
That is a special kind of dumb. But when you are a kid, especially with this, I'm sure that people are feeling pretty invincible towards this. And that's like one of the things that, you know, Fauci and some of the other health guys are saying is that one of the reasons we can't seem to get this under control is the young people aren't taking this seriously, which is why you're seeing in a lot of these places cases explode. And you know, it may not kill the young people, but the young people are certainly spreading it around. And we still don't know. That's the other thing. And this goes back to the whole college athlete thing and even high school, this idea of, well, screw them. They're young and healthy. Let them get it. Nuts to them. We still have no idea what the long-term ramifications are. There's a lot of people that think that this could end up causing blood conditions down the line or lung damage or kidney damage, loss of taste, loss of smell, that some of these things could be long-term. And yet there's certainly a lot of people being pretty cavalier with the, whatever.
All right. So we're falling behind here. Poll question is coming up, but the Blazers, today was the first day they could have mandatory individual workouts, not voluntary group workouts.
Yes.
Mandatory individual workouts. And so they spoke after that on Zoom. So the media, they were there. Big quotes.
Okay.
I mean,
big long quotes.
I need you more excited for this. And hey, play-by-play guy
Paul
news.
Paul Molitor, I remember having a big long one.
Now that's exciting. That's a great drop.
And by the way, that was not intentional. Like sometimes like Mike sets me up for something and you got to take the bait. That was just naturally occurring.
Poppy had big ones.
See, that was, you could tell that one was clearly, that was
teething. You can hear it in the voice.
Yeah. The Paul Molitor.
You were doing
one,
bits.
Yeah, the Paul Molitor one. No, the Paul Molitor having a big long one. That was about a hit streak. That was just, that was just naturally occurring.
All right. So
not Shannon Sharp, not that I know of.
We'll tell you the latest on your hometown team, and they're taking your resume for play-by-play guy.
Taking mine? I thought you'd throw your hat in the ring.
Wheels Scroat.
Wow.
Throwing his res in there. You think about that?
That makes me very
uncomfortable. Does that still make you uncomfortable, Sue?
Why?
Of all the things
it's
we've
probably better
ever
by
done
now.
On this show, nothing makes me more uncomfortable than
time.
That.
Maybe it will always be a giant scroat.
Time.
I'm disgusted.
Well, prepare to be further disgusted. Coming up next, here's Mike.
He is a five-star douche magoo.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 3:38, Blazers workouts began today. They are still here. They are not in Orlando. Got a little vid of Rodney Hood dunking. That was kind of cool. I mean, like, just standing there, you know, like
and
nothing.
He, by the way, I mean,
he's out.
He's not playing.
Yeah, he's so, out.
Torn Achilles, he's not making the comeback.
Yeah, so before we get to what the Terror Bear had to say out there, and Lillard, they spoke on Zoom calls with the media today. Kevin Calabro is out as Portland Trail Blazers television play-by-play man.
Yeah, after 4 years, which, by the way, boy, that seems like a long time. I would not have guessed that it had been 4 years. I'd kind of think it was like two.
Yeah, and we don't really know why. I haven't seen. Have you? Anybody got anything on that? Why?
No.
He says he wants to spend time with his family.
Yeah, so I don't.
Yeah.
My guess is that the pandemic led him to spend more time with his family and realize he travels too much and he stepped down.
I mean, he's been doing this for a long time.
Yeah, I was going to say, how old is Calabro now?
I think he's been doing it, he said, for like 35 years. So, I mean.
So he's 36?
Yeah, he started 1 year old.
Yeah, he's 64. Yeah, you never know with these things. I just, all I can say is.
Is there something behind the scene? Did he not want to go down to Orlando? Was it what Mike said? I mean, I'm sure as this goes on, there'll be more that leaks out. There'll be more scuttlebutt about this. And maybe there's nothing nefarious minded. Like maybe he just wanted to spend more time with his family.
The only thing I can say is after having been in broadcasting for half the time that he has, but still a long time, sometimes there is such a thing as just being over it.
Sure.
And that could be it. all the way to something different. Who knows?
Yeah.
Nobody knows. But in the last 2 years, the Blazers have lost both their radio and TV play-by-play guys because mm-hmm. Wheeler is gone and now Calabro.
And look, Calabro was a pro. Nothing against him. I mean, obviously, this guy's been doing it for a long time and is well thought of. And I'm not saying this for any reason other than I believe it's the truth. I never felt like he was the Blazers play-by-play guy. I never felt like I was watching a Blazer game when he did it. And maybe that was my, I knew Barrett.
I felt 100% the same way.
I knew Barrett and Rice were really good, but I'm not going to sit here and say that I ever thought, that was like, that I would miss them like that when they left. And when Calabro and Hurd, who again, both pros, I just never got used to it. And I thought eventually that it would just kind of fade and you're like, all right, well, this is the team now. But I never felt like Calabro was doing a home game. It always felt like it was more of a someone trying to fit the round peg square hole sort of thing.
He would always say, we're in Portland, Oregon, as if we didn't know we were in Portland, Oregon.
Yeah, it just never.
It was like it was still kind of nationally sounding. Yeah, I agree with Suka 100%.
It just never fit for me. For whatever reason. And I never really got to know him. I didn't have any sort of conversations with him. And not that he wasn't a pro. Like I said, it just didn't work for me.
He was very good.
Yeah.
It just, yeah, you're right. I just felt very similar.
He's very canned. His presentation, while being very good at what he does, it just sounds very canned. In other words, somebody said to me right when he first took the job, they were like, it sounds like he's doing a game from 1995.
Yeah.
In other words, just kind of the same. And Portland had such a connection with Mike Barrett and Mike Rice. And because of that, I think anybody that was going to come next, especially the way they just kind of turfed Barrett and Rice without like they're like, I think McGowan got it, but he was just the Paul Allen's like, henchman basically.
Yeah.
Paul Allen was so disconnected with how big of a deal Mike and Mike were with the fans here.
Yeah.
And even though they may drive you crazy, and Mike Rice certainly drove me crazy, just the homerism and stuff, but it was synonymous with the team, and they were a part of the community and a fabric of what the Blazers meant. They were a part of it, Mike and Mike.
Yeah.
You can't just swap them out for some particularly Seattle guy, right?
Yeah.
Who wanted the job. Like Paul Allen loved Kevin Calabro because he grew up listening to him with the Sonics. And it just didn't fit. It was a miss. It was a total misread of the situation. And that doesn't mean that Calabro couldn't go on to 15 more years if he wanted to as play-by-play guy of the Blazers. Again, he's very good. It just didn't feel the same. And I don't know who would have made it feel the same after what happened with Barrett and Rice. I mean, Paul Allen, basically, I don't know, I think they kind of did Barrett a little dirty on that deal.
Sure.
From what I understand, they were going to potentially move on from Rice.
Yeah.
Anyway, but Barrett, different. And Calabro, I don't know how much Calabro had to do with it, but I just, the way it all shook out
was. It didn't sit well with a lot of people.
Yeah, it shouldn't. And so those wanting Mike Barrett to come back, I just think that's crazy. I would be stunned.
That, I think that ship has sailed.
Stunned if he came back.
But thing is with Calabro, I just thought eventually I would get used to it. I think we do this a lot. We talked about this with like the naming thing, right? With the Civil War being done away with. That for a while you get pissed off about it, and then eventually you're like you're stubborn. And you're like, well, I'll still call it the Civil War. Or I'll still call it the Rose Garden. And then after a while, you're just like, it's the Moda Center or it's the Territory Cup or whatever. Whatever comes in its place, you learn to adjust. But I was surprised to learn that it was 4 years, and also surprised that I never got used to it. And it's I don't know if that's a testimony to Mike and Mike, or if that is, like you said, how it went down and then the taste it left in their mouth, and that if Calabro never really connected. But look at the text line. There's plenty of people that are saying the exact same thing, that are like, nothing against Calabro. It just didn't fit. And even going back, even before that, like Steve Snapper Jones, right? There's a Portland feel. I think stuff works here or it doesn't. And for whatever reason, Calabro was never he never felt Portland.
Well, I think in cities like New York or, Chicago, bigger cities, I think you don't have to be very New York or very Chicago, right?
Yeah.
In a city like
Just
Portland.
Just be good.
in a city like Portland that's smaller, I think you do need to be a little Portlandy, right? Like we need to, we're, it's different here, you know, we need to feel you and like, well, not literally, but feel it with you. How about that?
You got to go up to Barber with them and spend, spend some time.
We need to feel it together.
Got to hang out.
And Mike and Mike, love them or hate them, they did that. They became a piece of that culture. And there wasn't a lot of character with Calabro. Again, same stuff that he's been doing for 30 years. Very good. But it just was, it was sterile.
Yep.
And it doesn't, it just never really fit in Portland. So anyway,
Jordan Kent,
I don't know what they're going to do, but
well, Kent is going to do it from, for these final eight games, but they won't be doing it from Orlando.
Yeah. He's going to be here.
All the guys. And it sounds like this is going to go for everyone in the NBA. The local broadcasters are not going down to Orlando. They're going to do it like what they, the Summer League. They'll do it from their home studio, but Jordan Kent will take over. And I really like Jordan. Great, good guy. Haven't heard him do a ton of play by play, but he'll take the reins for eight games. And I'm assuming much like this is like what happened with Travis, right? When Wheels had his medical problems,
enlarged scrot.
I will not say what it was. He just had a medical problem.
Well, that's what they said in their press release.
It was in the press release, Sue.
Why did they do that? God, that makes me uncomfortable. But Travis, you know, filled in for him. And then eventually it was just like, well, here, Travis did a good job and it's yours.
Oh, so, is he the full-time guy now?
Yeah. Travis is the full-time guy. So
the radio
for radio. Yeah. And then I'm assuming
what the hell station are they on now?
I don't know.
Anybody know?
One of those others.
I can never find them.
And now I'm assuming Jordan Kent, right? Jordan's got an eight game tryout. And if he rolls, it'll be Jordan Kent.
Yeah. Right.
And then if not, and then you go find someone else. Swaggle. Swag can do it.
Ooh, Swagalicious.
Dude, that is his dream.
Can our boy
dreams.
Audition? I bet he'd be good at it.
Sure.
He probably would audition if they had auditions.
Well, Portland guy.
Yeah, he does the Portland Pilots.
Perhaps this is why Swigard was so upset about our his reputation and his brand with our poll questions. Maybe this is why.
Interesting.
Maybe he knew this all along and he's looking to clean things up
he's been
in front of the Trailblazers.
He's been positioning himself, try to scrub the past, Rick Pitino style. I don't even know, I think with the diverse one, I don't think they did any interviews. I think they gave him the job.
Who knows? But Lamar Hurd,
you should call the GM bro up.
Well, first of all, he has nothing to do with it. It's McGowan.
Oh,
but
well, bro. He hates you less than the GM bro.
That he does. But no interest. But what was I saying?
I don't know.
Oh, Lamar Hurd.
Lamar Hurd.
Yeah, he's staying. I think he's gotten better. The thing about Hurd is, he to me sounds like he could do it a long time here because he's kind of like he's getting in bed with the players and like he sounds like he genuinely
cares
and roots for the guys. Like he's becoming super homery,
and you kinda,
which I can't stand,
but you kind of need it.
I feel like we've learned that's just a thing here.
Sure.
And he's doing a pretty good job of that.
Yeah, bang that. Got to bang that drum. I will tell you this. Because the Blazers were not good this year. What did they finish? Eight games below 500 before
this
thing goes?
Whoa, it's not over.
It's not over.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
It's not over. That's why I said they were not. Doesn't mean they won't be good. One of the best parts of this season was listening to Lamar Hurd polished turds. Because that man will polish it. He gets in there. I mean, he gets down on his knees with a toothbrush and he will scrub that turd. They'd be getting blown out by like 32. And someone like Gary Trent Jr. would like come in and like get a block and he would be like, look at that tenacity. That right there is why he's going to be a player in this league. And you're like, dude, they're down by 30. But he could. He knew the benefit of polishing the turd. And that's what you have to do to keep that job.
Okay. What Terry Stotts said about how they may roll out their lineup next. And we also have another Blazer besides Trevor Ariza, who has backed out of the Orlando bubble. We'll get to that next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Well, assuming this little global pandemic thingy, this cute little pandemic, doesn't get in the way, the Blazers open their restart their season Friday, July 31st against Memphis.
I was told today that it was going to go away.
What was going away?
The virus.
Oh, good.
Yeah, that it was literally going to just disappear.
Then the Blazers will open July 31st on Friday against Memphis.
I can't believe it, but that was said today.
By the way, Zoom call today, Damian Lillard, Terry Stotts with media.
Yeah.
The most animated I've ever seen our Terror Bear.
Yeah, he's normally just...
Hey, Rip City.
I'm Terry's thoughts, and I'm reading this from my backyard.
So I gotta put a vote in for Eric Gunderson. I am on his side of this.
Yeah.
Because they were on there, and then Eric Gunderson, who is a writer for...
I think he writes for the Columbian, doesn't he?
Columbian.
Yeah, I don't know where he is right now. He's moved around a couple times.
He covers the Blazers. He was on this call.
He used to ride for the Columbian,
And they show him on there, and he's on his bed, right? Like, you know how you do? You sit on... I do this all the time, where I sit on the bed, and I just have my laptop or my iPad on my lap, you know?
Yeah.
And Stotts...
Pillows propping you up against the wall?
Yeah, and Stotts thought it was the funniest thing ever, and he was like, dude, get out of bed. It's 12:45. And Gunderson was kind of taken aback by it. He's like, well... I'm just comfortable, yeah. You know, I am fully in the Gunderson camp on this. Stotts just thought it was the funniest thing that he was still in bed. But I think it's fully acceptable. You go, boy.
It is a little odd. Like, in all defense of the Terror Bear, like, he's probably been on plenty of these now. That may be the first time he's seen someone in bed. You're not expected as a coach of an NBA team to answer questions from someone in a hoodie while laying in bed.
That is true. That is definitely true.
I don't remember who it was, but there was someone during one of those, like they did the big, Lady Gaga put it on. It was the COVID concert, right? And they had all, like, Eddie Vedder did it from his house and Lady Gaga and all that. One of the guys did it from his bedroom and his bed was unmade. Like, he had just, cause everyone just set up, like, and most people had like a music room, or whatever. He just set his up in his bedroom and he didn't bother to make his bed. It's like he had rolled out of bed and set up the keyboard and was like, hey, let's do this.
Well, among the Nuggets, it looks like the starting five will be Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, and then Carmelo Anthony slides to the three, Zach Collins at the four, and Yusuf Nurkic at the five. Stott said Nurkic looks about as in as good a shape as he's ever seen him since he's been in Portland, which is nice.
Yeah.
He said that he doesn't rule out Whiteside and Nurkic playing at the same time or even both starting, which is interesting. But either way, one or the other will be on the court at all times, which I think is a huge boost for them. So Whiteside will probably go to the second unit, but he hasn't fully decided about Collins sliding in at the four. And then Caleb Swanigan is not going to play. And granted, there won't be much playing time for him, but he said he is going to skip Orlando.
Yeah. So that's not a big deal at all. And then they were talking about, too, the who they signed, Jalen. Was it – who was the G League guy?
Adams,
that he's basically a practice player. So they said as much. They was just mainly – he will not be getting any minutes as well. I know some people were like, oh, they went and signed something. No, he was there for practice purposes.
And Lillard was on there. He said that he doesn't expect many guys to follow the COVID protocols. So
what?
He's just going to sit in his room.
I can't believe, is that the way the Blazers win the title? Like, are they just going to sit around and be like, look, guys, if we all just sit in our hotel room for like 2 months, everyone else is going to get this and we're going to be fine. Just stay the course. We'll be okay.
It's quite possible.
Blazers.
Stephen A. had that. Stephen A. went on a big rant. He said he gave it a month before the extracurricular activities forced players to seek refreshments elsewhere outside of the Orlando bubble. I said a month. What are you talking about? Dude, the side pieces are going to be in there within 7 days.
Did you see there's a porn site that's going to offer them free subscriptions?
Yeah. Well, I think it's the same. Wasn't that Pornhub? I think they were doing that for everybody at the start of the COVID stuff. They're always like making headlines with this sort of thing.
Boy, they see an opportunity.
Yeah, they do.
They jump on it.
Oh, and I'm sure there'll be several NBA players that are going to take them up on it. But something tells me the NBA guys are going to get on Instagram and then invite the stars of those videos into the Orlando bubble.
By the way, Lillard and his lack of confidence in guys following the protocol, that has made national headlines.
I know. I was like, when I got onto ESPN this afternoon, that was one of the headlines is Blazers Lillard doesn't believe people will follow protocols. What, does he not think they're going to play doubles ping pong? I mean, because
do you want his quote?
Some of the protocols are ridiculous.
Here's what he said. My confidence ain't great. My confidence ain't great because you're telling me you're going to have 22 teams full of players following all the rules. When we have 100% freedom, everybody don't follow all the rules. I don't have much confidence. But hopefully it'll be handled to a point where we're not putting everybody at risk or in a dangerous position.
Even though everyone else that's come back in these situations, from the MLS to golf to any of the athletes, yeah, we've seen outbreaks. But yeah, the NBA is going to manage to keep it under wraps. I am I want video interaction of the first time that someone tries to stop LeBron or Lillard or someone from leaving Orlando when one of these guys goes AWOL. I would give anything to see Ted, the security guard, telling LeBron, sorry, sir, I can't let you leave. If you come back, it's going to be like that. Well, like when you, the graduation dances, hey, just so you know, if you leave, you can't come back in. If you leave, you're gone. Can't come back. Okay.
All right. We'll get to our poll question next. It pertains to sports contracts when we return on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.